Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man and you claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in law, 'I have said you are gods'?" Small g. "If you call them gods, to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart in his very own and sent him into this world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, and you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in him." Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Then he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in the place, many believed in Jesus. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gates, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gates is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees still did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and he's a raving madman. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" The most important encounter you would ever have is with the Word of God. Join me as I continue to read the book of John from the NIV version of the Bible, right here on the Encounter series with me, Osaru Alile. Hey guys, okay, so I just want to share a few comments from chapter 10, John chapter 10. And I love in the beginning parts when Jesus was talking about the shepherd and the sheep, the good shepherd and the sheep. And it just reminded me of when I was much younger, and even till today, actually, when we'll be playing outside and, you know, you just hear your mom, my mom shouting, "Oh, Saru, come and eat your food," or something like that. When it was her voice, I knew immediately it was her voice. Like, even if it was the slightest tone of her voice, I could recognize it from miles away. And I would know the kind of things that she could say. And that's because I was familiar with her voice and familiar with her nature. And every time her voice spoke, it was super instructive because, you know, I sensed it and I understood it immediately. She may not even have to say too many words, but I sensed and I understood it. And he was explaining that a sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd and it will follow. It will not hear the voice of a stranger and follow. If somebody else called my name from outside, Osaru, and I'll be like, whose voice is that? I would know immediately it wasn't my mother's voice, even if the person stood in the same position where my mom naturally would be, because I would immediately like recognize that that's not my mom's voice. Who is that? When we were called by God to be his children as Christians, we started to understand who he is and also to recognize his voice as a father. His voice becomes more and more familiar to us, actually. And, you know, when we heard other voices, sometimes it's difficult, but after a while you start to say, no, that's not the voice of my father. And the few ways that we'll be able to recognize his sound and his voice is by getting closer to him and reading his word, because his word is the ultimate voice, you know, that can give us a standing point as to if this is the voice of a father. If we're hearing something that doesn't sound like it's authentic, or it sounds like the voice that is being spoken in his word, then we can be confused and say, I don't think that's the voice of my father. It gets easier, you know, as we get closer and closer to him, it gets easier for us to understand his voice, the sound, and of course, the nature of the things that he would and would not say. Also, there's something that, you know, Jesus also mentioned. He talked about the caretakers. Even as we are here on this earth, you can ask someone to take care of something for you. But if you're the one taking care of it by yourself, there's a difference with the finite attention that is being paid. And it's not because the person doesn't want to take care of it. It's just a different feeling. Like, you know how you give someone your baby to take care of? If it was you, you go all far and beyond to just ensure that the baby is in good condition. But someone else taking care of it, it's not, like I said, it's not because they don't want to, but maybe they don't understand. If it's your child, you probably understand, the baby's jerks, the baby's cries, the different types of cries. Like, this baby's crying like this, that means they're hungry. The baby's crying like this, that means, you know, they just want someone to play with them. And he said specifically, if the caretaker is taking care of you and somebody comes and tries to scatter the flock, the caretaker will run, you know. That's how, like, I remember in, like, our neighborhood and stuff, when they used to have vigilante those days, armed robbers would come to the neighborhood and vigilante, before you know it, they've disappeared, you know. They've run away because no one wants wahala. But imagine the person who is taking care of their own house. You can't run now. Where are you running to? Because you want to make sure that everything is fine. He knows for sure, and we know him. He knows us for sure, and we know him. It becomes such a beautiful experience when God knows, because he knows us for sure, and then we start to know and understand him. It becomes such a beautiful experience, one that, honestly, we should never compromise on. And I like in verse 10 when he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy, but he has come. This is him promising us this eternal life again. And I like how they describe eternal life here. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. I mean, how beautiful is that? That is the gift that Christ Jesus is giving to us. He has offered to us that we have life to the fullest once we start to understand who he is and understand his Father. Understand the Father, which is also God, which is also Jesus. Who wouldn't want this, honestly? Like, why would you choose not to want a full and complete life? Even if you're not 100% sure, it's no better to try and say, okay, let me try this full life that they're talking about and do all the things that is said in the word to do, and, you know, allow yourself to die to self and be raised up in him. It's beautiful. Then from verse 14 to 18, he was just talking about the ultimate sacrifice. You know, the fact that he was dying and he was going to be raised up again. And I'm sure then, honestly, I think this thing you can only understand by the spirits. I'm sure they know the Jews were like, what's this guy? In fact, not that I'm sure. The Bible says that they were all like, what's he talking about? Like, this guy is clearly demon-possessed. He cannot be okay. And to be honest, if I was there, I would have probably been confused too. That's the truth. Because like I said, you can only understand by the spirits. So what was he saying? He was talking about how he was laying his life down by his own authority. I mean, guy, how? So it was confusing. But however, some of them were saying they don't understand, but some of them there who were already picking up the nature of God and, you know, the nature of God and even through Jesus Christ, where they had their ears a bit leaned towards him and saying, this guy might be, he has to be the son of God, especially because of the things that he's doing. Which evil person, which demon possessed person will go and heal the blind? Which demon possessed person will go and touch a person and the person will become healed? So it was confusing for them, but some picked it up, you know. So as we move along, you know, in our daily lives, we need to be able to pick up the things that are of Christ and are not of him. We know the things that, you know, a demon will not do. And truly, those same things are happening today on earth. A demon is not going to go and heal somebody from sickness because that's not their desire. So I just pray that God continues to open our eyes to be those who see and understand, believe and reap the fruits and the benefits of believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.